رحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. جس سے ہیں آپ خوش اس جہاں میں، وہ شب و روز ہے گلستاں میں. جس سے ہیں آپ خوش اس جہاں میں، وہ شب و روز ہے گلستاں میں. دیکھ کر میرے اشک ندامت، دیکھ کر میرے اشک ندامت، ابر رحمت کی بارش ہے جام ہے. دیکھ کر میرے اشک ندامت، ابر رحمت کی بارش ہے جام ہے. علماء کرام، ریسپیکٹڈ برادر اینڈ سسٹرز ایٹ دا مدرسہ، ود اللہ فضل، اللہ احسان اینڈ اللہ کرم اینڈ اللہ تعالی توفیق، دا پاسٹ فیو ڈیز وی اسپینٹ ان دا کمپنی آف مائی شیخ حضرت مولانا حکیم محمد اختر صاحب دامت برکاتہ. One line of fans on this person. He is no doubt an Arif Billah, and the number of mashayikh coming to spend a few days in his company is sufficient evidence that there is something that they are coming to seek. Muhaddiseen, mufassireen, great, great mashayikh and ulama. One alim, one sheikh from Bangladesh, he has 16,000 murids himself. But he too came recently and spent a few days with Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum. Then there are so many other sheikhul hadiths. Now what are they really coming there for? When these Arif Billahs and these great Ahlullah, they come to our town, our city, our country, then we take it for granted that there are some scholars who come to give some speeches. They are not of that caliber. Alhamdulillah, there are many, many who come, they give good, good, beautiful speeches, and they leave the country and go. But in the company of these people, there is something else that we seek. And that is the connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Such a connection that shaitan and nafs cannot separate us from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Many a times I have mentioned in this majlis that do not sit here for the purpose of increasing your knowledge. For the purpose of increasing knowledge, there are many other majlises that take place. And inshallah, even in these majlises, you have increased tremendous amount of your knowledge. But the real purpose is to get that connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that no matter how strong the taqaza of the nafs and shaitan upon us, but we say that we are ghulams, we are servants, we are slaves of someone. So we cannot be slaves of two different masters. We cannot be the slave of Allah on the one hand and the slave of shaitan and nafs on the other hand. Ganga ka shnan bhi kiya, کعبہ کا طواف بھی کیا, گنگا کا اشنان بھی کیا, خوش رہے رحمان بھی, راضی رہے شیطان بھی. That is not our condition. That should not be our condition. That on the one hand we please our nafs and shaitan, and on the other hand we try to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It does not work like that. And that is the reason that there are so many deeni activities we involve ourselves in. Going for Hajj, Umrah, reading the Quran Sharif, making Zikrullah, Tasbihat, Tahajjud, Ishraq and Chasht, so much of Taaleem and so many of other programs we participate in. But still, if we have to take Qasam, if everyone has to be asked to take a Qasam, that at the end of all these programs, what have you got in your heart? Take qasam and say, how much noor is in that heart? How much has been accumulated there? How much benefit do people really get in our company? And what impact do our speeches have on their hearts? And how much of noor is generated when they sit in our majlis and in our company? Then we all will have the answer. We all know ourselves how much of noor we have in our hearts. So what is the reason? Why is it that that one sajda, which Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to make, which Hazrat Muinuddin Khaja Ajmeri Rahmatullah Alayhi used to make, which Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to make, and Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that I get the maza, I get the taste, I get the enjoyment of 200 kingdoms in my one sajda. And we make 1,000 sajdas and we can't get the taste of anything in this. What is the reason for that? There is only one reason. There is only one thing that is lacking. And that is that we do not exert ourselves, or we do not put all our effort into the giving up of things which Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have declared as haram. That is the reason. That everything else, after a little bit of encouragement, it becomes easy to start off. But when it comes to suppressing our nafs and our evil desires, then there we become like the fox. There we become coward. There we are prepared to rebel against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There we forget that a little while ago we were at the roza of Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reading as-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah. There we forget that we were at the Kaaba Sharif making tawaf. Therefore one wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when one of his friends or one of his murids or just one acquaintance of his was going for Nafil Hajj, he asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going for Hajj. Nafil Hajj. Farz Hajj at all costs, you must make it as soon as it becomes Farz. Whether it is done with Ikhlas or not done with Ikhlas, but once Hajj is Farz, the Farz Hajj must be undertaken. And every effort should be made to make it with Ikhlas and sincerity. But do not delay that. But here we are talking of Nafil Hajj. So he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going for Nafil Hajj. They said, have you recognized the Rabbul Bayt? Have you recognized the Rabb of that house? Have you got any connection with him? Have you built up your relationship with him? He says, no. He said, well, then come to me first. He spent 1 year in his company. And then when he went for Hajj, he saw something else in that Kaaba Sharif. Now his nazar was not seeing just stone wall. It was seeing the tajalliyat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in that Kaaba Sharif. Because now he recognized the Rabbul Bayt. The Rabb, when he is recognized, then he will recognize Kaabatullah also. Then he will recognize the tajalliyat there. We know there were 360 idols in the Kaaba Sharif. But the Kaaba Sharif itself could not get rid of those 360 idols. This was a beautiful point which I heard in this trip from Hazrat Maulana Hakim Ahmad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. He says the fawaid and the benefits of the sohbat of the Ahlullah. He said there were 360 idols in the Kaaba Sharif. But the Kaaba Sharif itself could not get rid of the 360 idols. It was Rasul-e Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who came and got rid of those 360 idols. That means there had to be a shaksiyat. There had to be a shaksiyat, a personality, who got rid of those. And what kind of a personality was that? One who had such relationship with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that at times after his tahajjud prayers, he could not even recognize his wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. On one occasion he asked her, "Who are you?" When she came after tahajjud salat, said, "I'm Aisha." "Which Aisha?" "Aisha binti Abi Bakr." "Which Abu Bakr?" "Abu Bakr bin Quhafa." "Which one?" She got scared and she ran from there. Then afterwards Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told her that there is a time between me and Allah that not even the angel who is muqarrab can come in between. That kind of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he got rid of those idols from the Kaaba Sharif. So he says, just as there had to be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam coming to remove those idols from the Kaaba Sharif, within our hearts also there are so many different idols. There are so many idols in our hearts. The idol of wealth, the idol of beauty, the idol of properties, the idol of gold and silver. There are so many different idols in our hearts. Because what is an idol? An idol is something that is worshipped. Now worshipped does not mean that we go and fold our hands before the gold and silver. Worship does not mean that a person goes to his business and then he folds his hands like that and says that you are my God. That we don't do, alhamdulillah. Worship does not mean that we fold our hands before the beauty of the woman who it is haram for us to see. We won't do that. But worship means that we obey. So we are obeying the desires of our nafs. Business, if something is coming in a haram way, then we say, let it come. Namaz time, the azan is called. The muazzin is saying, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah. At that time, who are we worshipping? If we were worshipping Allah, then we would have said, oh dear business, I love you. But my love for you is 49%. And my love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is 50%. Or 51%. The love of all these things must be great, must be lesser than the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, if a person's parents are ill, or if any other beloved of his has to call him, and this person says that I will finish my work and then come, will that person recognize that person as a lover? He says, I will finish all my work and then I will come. As we say, I will finish the work of the day and then I will make the five namazes at night. And especially when the caller who is calling, he is not calling on his own behalf. He is calling because he has been ordered to call. And he is sounding the message or sounding the call on behalf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore the Ashiqana Tarjuma, a translation that my Hazrat makes of Hayya ala Salah. He says, ay mere bando, ay mere ghulamo, jaldi jaldi wuzu karke aajao, tumhare maula tumhe yaad kar rahe hai. Tumhare maula tumhe yaad kar rahe hai. Make wuzu quickly and come away. Your beloved maula is thinking of you. So what I am saying is that we won't worship by folding our hands before all these things. But what it means is that we submit ourselves to these evil desires. Whatever haram, as long as our nafs gets pleasure, then we are satisfied. Our nafs must get pleasure. Allah can become displeased. During my stay there, I met many people. And alhamdulillah, they mentioned about the benefits of the sohbat of Hazrat Maulana Akimo, Dr. Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. One person came from Rawalpindi and he was sent by the Amir of the Jamaat of Rawalpindi. Some Sikandar or something is his name, I forget the name. Because this person related the dream to that Amir there in Rawalpindi, and the Rawalpindi Amir said, you go directly to Karachi and you go and relate the dream. So when he came, he said, main Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ka ek peygham aapko dene aaya hoon. So Hazrat immediately sat down and he said, what is the message? He says, I saw in a dream, and this was a very pious person who had come. He says, I saw in a dream that Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking his turban and he is putting it onto your head, and he says that I have made you the Qutb of the time. So this might sound to us just fairy tales, but there is great lesson in it for us, that the Ahlullah are leaving the world. People like us will remain behind. The Ahlullah, one by one, they are going. Just in these 2 years, more than 20 great alims, mashayikh, walis of Allah Ta'ala, great Ahlullah, recognized in the world as Ahlullah, they left. Just in this recent, in 2 years. So we do not know how long these people are going to live. But there is something that they want to pass on. There is a message that they are giving to us, that no matter how much you try in the world to get peace of mind, to get happiness, to get satisfaction, to get contentment, but you will not get it until and unless you don't please Allah. Jisse hai aap khush is jahan mein, wo shabo roz hai gulsita mein. With whomsoever you are pleased in this world, with whomsoever, O Allah, you are pleased, then day and night he is in gardens. Day and night he is in gardens. Because who is the creator of gardens of Jannat? Allah. Who is the creator of the beauty of the sun, the moon, the stars, and the waters of the ocean and the forest? It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who puts the sweetness into the sugar cane. It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who puts the beauty into the flowers and onto the faces of people, of men and women. So it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who is giving all these things, or who has created all these things. Now when he is going to come into the heart, it is like taking a capsule of all these beauties and sweetness and everything into the heart. So now this person will be happy all the time. Many times I have mentioned that person can have pain in the body, he can have no money in his pocket, he can be living in a hut, he can be in great difficulty outwardly. But inside his heart there is a connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and whosoever sits with him, travels with him, moves with him, they will recognize that contentment and satisfaction. That whatever will happen, they will say, it is the will of my Mawla, it is the will of my Allah, and there must be some khair in it, there must be some goodness in it. No matter how difficult it may be upon us, but there is definitely some khair in it. When we arrived at Karachi, the pilot announced that the visibility is only 5,000 meters and we require a minimum of 15,000 meters to land. The visibility is only 500 meters and we require a minimum of 1,500. He says, but because there's a cyclone, the gale force wind it is blowing, and there's a storm, and all the dust, it has clouded the whole sky and it is very difficult to land, so we'll wait for about half an hour, and if we cannot get good visibility, we'll go back to Dubai. Now imagine you come right there and then you are told that now we are going to go back to Dubai. So I told my friends, I said, this, it's the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and there's khair and goodness in everything that he does. Sometimes test comes, but be patient and you will find that there was great khair in it. So we went back to Dubai, then returned the next morning. Then we were informed the temperatures were running at 42 degrees, 43 degrees, 45 degrees. And the dust was so much that especially a person like myself suffering from sinusitis, it would have become extremely difficult. So that night it rained so much that all the dust settled and the temperatures dropped by 15 degrees and came away to 30 degrees. And for the next couple of days we had lovely cool breeze and weather. So now there was khair in it. So what I am trying to convey to you is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when we are going to bring him into our hearts, we will find peace in the hearts. There will be peace in our hearts. But first we have to fight this nafs. Just a little while ago there were some drunken people outside who were making a big noise. So it reminds me that when that Hazrat asked a question, he said that sharab kitni qisam ki hai Maulana? How many kinds of sharab there are? How many kinds of intoxicant drinks or liquor? Those who are used to sharab, then they would have said Kasal Lager and so many other kinds of drinks. But what do we know the qisams of sharab? So I looked at him with surprise and I said, is it sharab kitni qisam ki hai? Mujhe to kuch malum nahi. He said, suno ghor se, sharab teen qisam ki hai. I thought he was asking of some names. He says, there are three kinds of sharab, three kinds. Ek dunyavi sharab, ek dunya ki sharab, یہ نہ ازلی ہے نہ ابدی، دنیا کی شراب نہ ازلی ہے نہ ابدی، ایک ہے آخرت کی شراب، آخرت کی شراب ازلی نہیں تھی لیکن ابدی ہے، اور ایک ہے ذات حق کی شراب کہ جو ازلی بھی ہے ابدی بھی ہے. اسے ذرا تھری کائنڈز آف انٹاکسیکنٹ ڈرنکس، تھری کائنڈز آف شراب، تھری کائنڈز آف وائن. ون از دا وائن آف دس ورلڈ، دا وائن آف دس ورلڈ مینز دا انٹاکسیکنٹ افیکٹ آف دس ورلڈ، ایوری تھنگ دیٹ اٹ پوزیسز، مینی پیپل بیکم انٹاکسیکیٹڈ ود اٹ. سو دیٹ واز ناٹ دیئر بیفور، اٹ واز ناٹ دیئر بیفور، اٹ واز آل کریئٹڈ بائی اللہ تبارک و تعالی، ویدر اٹ از گولڈ، سلور، پراپرٹی، women, beauty, whatever it is. It was non-existent, Allah Ta'ala brought it into existence. That is what it means, that it was not, that it was neither azali and nor abadi, and nor will it remain forever. Neither was it there before and nor will it remain forever. Allah Ta'ala brought it into existence and Qiyamah Day everything will finish. So that which we are giving our life over, it was neither there before and nor will it be there afterwards. Jannat is the sharab of the akhirat. People will become intoxicated there in Jannat with all the wealth and with all the ni'mats of Jannat. But that is jaiz intoxication. It is permissible intoxication. But that too was not there. Allah Ta'ala created it. It was not there. So it was not azali. But it will be abadi. That means it will remain forever and ever. But he says, zaat-e-haq ki sharab aisi hai. The sharab of the love of Allah Ta'ala is such a sharab. It's such a drink. It's such an intoxicant that it is azali and abadi. It was always there and it will always remain. The person who is drunk with the muhabbat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then he does not require going towards haram. Haram to him is like urine and stool, filth. If somebody has to tell him to drink urine and eat stool, na'uzu billah, how filthy it would be to this person who is drunk with the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that's how it appears to him. And then this person is not going to be deprived of the ni'mats of this world. This is the major problem, that we think that the moment we will get this sharab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's muhabbat, then we will be cut off from all ni'mats of this world. In fact, then we will be really enjoying the ni'mats of this world. I mentioned in some other majlis that Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, the Shaykh of Hazrat Maulana Hakim Mohd Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, says on one occasion, he said, Hakim Akhtar, mujhe is dal ke andar biryani ka maza aa raha hai. So he said, Hazrat, how can you get the taste of biryani in eating this dal? He says, is liye ke main Allah ka haath mere haath ke peeche dekh raha hoon. My Allah is feeding me. He says, my Allah is feeding me. He says, how can Allah be feeding you? He says, Allah Ta'ala who is causing this hand to be raised up to my mouth. If Allah Ta'ala makes it paralyzed, then the doctors of the world cannot get it up. How many people? They are bedridden. They cannot walk. They cannot move. Every medication they have been given, operations upon operations, but nothing has helped. So he says, I am seeing that Qudrat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala raise this hand and bring the doll to my mouth. So therefore I am getting the taste of biryani in this doll. As I always say that we do not even get the taste of doll in our biryani because of the worries that we are under and the pressure that we are under, that we do not even enjoy our biryanis. So it is not that the person is going to be deprived after that. If that was the case, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would not have made it a sunnat of his life, or he would not have said an nikahu min sunnati faman raghiba an sunnati, in another hadith, faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni, that nikah is my way of life. Whosoever turns away from this kind of life, from he does not want to make nikah. Of course, if there are valid reasons, it is a different thing. There are many great buzrugs also who didn't marry for valid reasons. But the person who has got wealth, who has got health, and there is nothing restraining him, and the person is also in danger of falling in sin, then he should get married. So if the person doesn't, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that he is not of me, meaning that he is not following my way, he's got no love for me. So he would not have said that you must make nikah. Because we know that in nikah now this person will have to worry about his wife, he'll have to worry about the children, and there will be different kinds of distractions. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this is my way of life. He did not prohibit us eating the halal food, drinking the halal drinks, wearing good clothes, making use of good homes, as long as it is within the framework of Sharia. He did not restrain us from that. So this sharab of Zat-e-Haq, this is what we really go to get in the company of these Ahlullah. Because they have made tremendous amount of mujahida on their hearts. So much that every minute they are concerned that my Allah Ta'ala must not be displeased with me. وہ ہر لمحہ خدا تعالیٰ کو راضی رکھتے ہیں, ایک لمحہ بھی خدا کو ناراض نہیں کرتے. As he says, not one minute, not one second, everything you will find them, they want to know, is my Allah pleased with this or not. They have got such a kind of a heart that when you sit with them, when you listen to them, you find the noor of that penetrating. But then what you learn in their company is how to retain that noor. The problem with us is that we don't retain the noor of namaz, the noor of zakat, the noor of charities, the noor of akhlaq and ibadat. Whatever we make, it is just for a little while, and then we put a dynamite and we blow it off. So in their company you get that strength, you get that himmat, you get that courage to retain that noor. That is what people go there for, to them for. By kitabs, you become alim-e-manzil. With your kitabs, you can become alim-e-manzil. But you cannot become baligh-e-manzil. You do not reach there with your kitabs. The kitabs show you the road, that this is the road. The Ahlullah, they make you baligh-e-manzil. Your destination you get to know by means of your kitabs, but how to get to that destination, it is the Ahlullah who make you get there. Though sometimes we read a thing and we misunderstand, and we practice in accordance with our understanding, and it is totally wrong, and we are getting involved in bid'at or getting involved in something else. So therefore the Ahlullah, they are the ones who take you to that destination. We all can read up a book on heart transplant in English. We all can read up how to do a heart transplant. So now we became alim-e-manzil, that we know how to do it, how to get there. Heart transplant, how it is done. But if a person is not there to guide us, and if a person says that I don't require any supervision, any guidance, any teaching, any learning, because I read it in the book, then inshallah everyone that comes under his knife will all be in the Qabristan. So in the same way, through the kitabs we get to know. But then it is the Ahlullah that with their qulub, with the qulub which is filled with noor of taqwa, then they take us to that destination. There is great barakat in the sohbat. In Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, they were namazis, they made hajj, they made jihad, mujahids, they were everything. But still we all know them as ashab of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ashabi kan nujum bi ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum. My sahabas, my companions, are like the guiding stars. Whichever one of them you choose for hidayat, you'll get guidance. Because they stayed in his company. So company has a great effect. It has a great effect. So this is what these great mashayikh, these muhaddiseen, mufassireen and all are coming for. Because they have seen that there is something else that this person possesses which we do not have, and they come to learn that. That is why we go. Some people say that what is the need, what is the reason the people keep running behind the Ahlullah? But there is something that they do not know. They do not know what the enjoyment is, what the benefit is. One film actor comes who does not even make his istinja properly, and there's so much of filth in his clothes, but you get people going crazy and mad, and they're running after him and chasing after him, and they want to hear a few words from him. And if he only has to touch somebody, then that person became very Mubarak and Mutawarrak. So this is the world. In the auction sales in London and other places where they sell the clothing of the film stars and actresses, the people pay thousands of dollars for filth. Thousands of dollars. Ahlullah make zikr and tilawat. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that sometimes I noticed that my Shaykh, his Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that, and Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says in summer, that heat of India, their bodies used to perspire, the clothes used to get filled with perspiration. Lekin zikrullah ki barkat se unke kapdon mein kabhi bhi badbu maine nahi sungi. He said, I never had the smell of perspiration in their clothes. And that was the barkat of the extensive amount of zikr that they used to make. That even their clothes absorbed that zikrullah. So their company has got great effect. So what they teach us is that if you are going to please Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will give you the gardens in your heart. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shabo roz hai gul sita mein. Day and night he is in those gardens. یہ مانا کہ امیر گلشن جنت تو دور ہے عارف ہے مگر دل میں خالق جنت لیے ہوئے امیر the gardens of jannat are far away but the arifs of Allah they've got the خالق of the jannat in their hearts and when we are going to displease that Allah تبارک و تعالی then things will change around us because we are coming close to election time then we must understand that Allah تبارک و تعالی is the one who changes conditions. It is our a'mal, when they go up, they bring down conditions. We must take lessons from everything that is happening around us. Because as far as we are concerned, there are only two parties. The party of Allah and the party of Shaitan. Hizbullah and Hizbush Shaitan, as the Quran Sharif says. We are not saying that you must not make tadbir, or you must not vote, or you must not use your intelligence and come to some decision when it comes to worldly matters. Sometimes it is an Islamic country where two Muslims are standing as candidates, and there we will say that you vote for the better of the two persons. Both are reasonably good Muslims, so you say you vote for the better of the two persons. And sometimes in some countries you say you vote for the lesser of the two devils. So people want to know who must we vote for. So I say, well, in our country we must vote for lesser of the two devils. But what I am saying is this, that when we are going to please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us happiness in our heart. He will give us peace. He will give us satisfaction. So that is the sharab of Zat-e-Haq. The sharab of Zat-e-Haq. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala will make everybody change. Around us everybody will change. They say our wives are not obedient, children are not obedient, our managers are not trustworthy and obedient, our laborers are not obedient, everybody is rebelling, everybody is against us, everybody is causing harm. So Allah Ta'ala changes the hearts of people. Nigahe aqrba badli mizaje dostan badla. نگاہِ اقربا بدلی مزاجِ دوستاں بدلا نظر ایک ان کی کیا بدلی کہ کل سارا جہاں بدلا. So the nigah of the relatives, the family members also changed. They are no more ours. The nigah of the friends changed. Those who were very close friends, suddenly they distanced themselves from us and they got problems with us. نظر ایک ان کی کیا بدلی کہ کل سارا جہاں بدلا. Allah Ta'ala's nazar changed, everybody's nazar changed. But if we please Him, then Allah Ta'ala will change even our enemies to our friends. Those who were the enemies of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those who were the enemies of the Sahaba-i-Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in, and they were thirsty for the blood of Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, wasn't he thirsty for the blood of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And so many others. But later, what did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala cause? He changed their hearts, and they were the ones that where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sweat fell, perspiration fell, they were prepared to sacrifice their blood and life because they pleased that Allah. So we must learn this muhabbat of Allah is something that has to be learnt. It doesn't come through the kitabs. It doesn't come through the kitabs. The kitabs take you up to a certain destination, and after that you need the Ahlullah to take you forward. So therefore that Buzruk said that first you recognize the Rabbul Bayt. Recognize Rabbul Bayt and then go for Hajj. And then you will see something else when you are going to look at the Kaaba Sharif. If you are not going to recognize Allah and go to the Kaaba Sharif, then even sitting by the Kaaba Sharif you will be engaged in sins. Some people they say that in Hajj or in the Haram Sharif, and indeed that is the correct masla that they are conveying, that you must try to sit close to the Kaaba Sharif and then look at the Kaaba Sharif. It's mustahab, it's sunnat to sit near and watch the Kaaba Sharif. So now shaitan and nafs are so clever and so shrewd that they will bring this masla, which is mustahab, to sit near and make you sit right in the front row, first row. After that, for 2 minutes, you will look at the Kaaba Sharif. Then slowly, then eyes will come lower and lower. The gaze will come lower until you will start looking at the people that are making tawaf. Then you will start gazing at what is happening at the Hajre Aswad, the boxing match that's going on there. And after that, the person will start looking at, then you will start looking at the women that are making the tawaf and the beauty of those women. And you will forget that he is sitting in the Haram Sharif. So at such a time, leave that mustahab, go far away, because it is better to leave that mustahab, which is becoming the cause of indulgence in haram. Learn this masla. This mustahab is now becoming the cause of indulgence in haram, so therefore move away. You will get more sawab moving far away and looking at the top of the Kaaba Sharif. So when the person does not recognize the Rabbul Bayt, he goes to Makkah Sharif, then this is what will happen there. Now where are you going to recognize Rabbul Bayt? Who is going to make you recognize Rabbul Bayt? It is the Ahlullah. And we must not think that the Ahlullah only far away, somewhere in Pakistan or in India or some 100,000 kilometers away. What is happening? In every city, in every town, in every country, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got many, many Ahlullah. So the hearts of the Ahlullah, as I have mentioned many times, are the reservoirs of ikhlas. And from them we learn how to recognize Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And when we recognize our Allah, then our whole lifestyle will change. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us such noor in our hearts. Such noor, there will be an ocean of noor that will be flowing into those hearts. And as a result of that, they will find sukoon, they will find peace, they will find contentment, they will find satisfaction. And no matter how much nafs and shaitan will try to pull them away from Allah, but they will not. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ They will run towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They will not allow the nafs and shaitan to distract them. Taqazas will come of committing sin. Lots of evil desires will come. But Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi, the example that comes to mind, which he gives in his Masnavi Sharif, he says that when the sun shines, I'm just giving you the gist of that, he says when the sun shines, its rays falls on everything. It even falls on the dung, whether it is of elephants or whether it is of cows, whatever it is, it even falls on that. The rays of the sun, it doesn't deprive anybody of the warmth, falls on everything. Falls on our heads and falls also on the grass and falls even on the dung. Even the dung doesn't become deprived of the warmth of the rays of the sun. And he says after that what happens is that the organic matter is drawn into the earth, and from that organic matter the earth is fertilized, and when it is fertilized then the flowers grow, beautiful rose flowers and so many other kinds of flowers giving so much of fragrance. And if you have to look at it, at the bottom there was nothing but dung, filth. But because of the rays of that sun, they also started growing such fragrant flowers. So he says, "Oh Allah, when you have got that kind of qudrat that you caused the sun to make that dung so beneficial, so then all with the filth that is in our hearts, it is like that dung. But when your tajalli of rahmat falls, and when it falls on this heart which is filled with all the dung, then Ya Allah, just as you cause that dung to then grow, or that fertilizer to then grow beautiful, fragrant, smelling flowers, then let it heat up my heart, and let akhlaq-e-fazila grow from this heart. On that same soil, on that same earth, which had so much of filth." So the taqazas will come of sin. But when the person, the more stronger the desire, the more stronger the evil desire, when he's going to make mujahada against it, then the more noor will come into his heart. The more noor will come into his heart. But if he gives in, then that whatever there was, they also will disappear. And accidentally, if the person commits a sin, then you have heard many times that if one is to purposely to fall into the gutter, and say that I'm enjoying the filthy gutter line and all the filth that is flowing in this gutter, then that person of course has to have his head examined. Dispatch him immediately to the nearest asylum, otherwise it will be a problem for society. But the person who accidentally slips and falls, then he must straightaway rush to the bathroom, take a shower, put on new clothes or clean clothes, apply the ether and perfume, and he will be fresh and clean again. So like that, this person who accidentally commits a sin, accidentally. A Muslim does not commit purposely sins. And do not take advantage of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's rahmat, or do not try to say that, well, Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim, so I will commit sin and make tawbah, I will commit sin and make tawbah, I will commit sin and make tawbah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sometimes takes away the tawfiq of tawbah, and then this person dies a terrible death. He can die in a state of kufr, in a state of disbelief. Iman is snatched away sometimes when this person becomes persistent. Accidental sins, no matter how many he committed, if he makes plenty of tawbah and istighfar, Allah will forgive him. Or purposely too, if he committed once or twice, it is understandable. But to make it a habit that the person goes on and on, then that is definitely very dangerous. I had something else in mind which I was going to discuss tonight from some of the notes that I had made there, but we didn't have the time, inshallah, in some other majlis. But this is the purpose of going to the Ahlullah, that a few days or a little while also in their sohbat and in their company, if we go with ikhlas, if we go with an open mind, as I explained in one of the majlises, that if you want to benefit, if you want to benefit from the fragrant smelling rose, then the nose, the nostril, the first of all, the rose has to be fragrant. Fragrant smelling. The rose must be fragrant smelling. It must not be an artificial flower. If it's an artificial one, made up one, then nothing will come out of that. But if it's a genuine rose, then if you want to benefit from it, then must keep the nostrils open and the sinuses unclogged. Then we will get the benefit. So if we go with to this Ahlullah with an open mind, open heart, and we realize that they have got a special connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala because of the mujahada they have made. It's not that they don't laugh, they don't joke, they don't eat, they don't drink, they are some different kind of people from some aliens. They are also human beings with the same kind of hands and eyes and feet and everything like us. This is where most people went astray, that when they looked at the Nabis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they said that they are human beings like us. They eat, they drink, they marry, they do everything. Then what's the difference between us and them? So there is a big difference, and that is the difference of what is in their hearts. There is something in their hearts which we do not have. And that transfers from the heart to the heart. If a person has got the current, electric current flowing through his body, then you must not touch him, because if you touch him, then you will also get shocked. But the person who has got the current of the love of Allah flowing through his body, then touch him, meaning that sit in his company, listen to him, follow his teachings. So then what will happen? The love of Allah will also come. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, he answered this very beautifully, that people say that how can from one heart the noor of the taqwa flow into the other heart? We say that the effect of the company. So he said, like here now you've got different globes burning. So outwardly if you look at it, the one on my left hand side and the one on my right hand and the one in the center, all distance apart. But if you look at the light here, can anybody separate it? That this is the light of that one and this is the light of this one and this is the light of that one. So he says in the globes there can be distance, but in the light there's no distance. So just like that there can be a distance as far as the bodies are concerned. The Ahlullah, the Mashayikh, the Walis of Allah, their bodies are different from our bodies. But when we sit in their company, then the light, how all becomes one. Like that, it strengthens our light, strengthens our iman, strengthens our belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, gives us the courage to fight against nafs and shaitan, because that is where we are failing. That in the masjid, we will listen to the bayan, we will say, mashallah, wonderful, very nice, we want to make amal. But the moment we go outside, the moment we go into our homes, the moment we go into the bazaars and marketplaces, the moment we go to the schools and colleges, then once again we become the slaves of shaitan and nafs. So that courage and the himmat comes in their company. And we are also in need of it, who give you bayans all the time. We are also in need of it. We sense within us the need to get more and more. And that is the only reason that we go and search for these Ahlullah. Otherwise we also have got stocks of kitabs, alhamdulillah, library full of kitabs. We can sit and read from morning till evening, plenty of kitabs. So there must be something that we are in search of. Alhamdulillah, we are not doing any exchange of or any money racketing or anything. Because some people think that whenever some Maulvi flies over, somebody must have bought his ticket and given him some money, the ticket, and go and leave it there and I'll buy your ticket for that. So alhamdulillah, there is no such thing. There's no agency or commission business of any kind. Yes, one agency that we go to get, and that is the agency to connect people with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us ikhlas in our niyat and accept the few days that I had the opportunity of spending there. And may Allah ta'ala give me also the tawfiq to stay away from everything displeasing to Him and do all that is pleasing to Him. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, hamare gunah ko maaf farma, saghira kabira amadan khata'an zahiri batini, har gunah ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, humko apni zaat e paak ke saath aisa chipka de ke nafs aur shaitan ek lamhe ke liye bhi tujhse juda na kar sake. اے اللہ نور تقویٰ سے ہمارے دلوں کو منور فرما دے. اے اللہ ہمیں صحت عافیت عزت سلامتی نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ہم سب کو اپنے اولیاء صدیقین کی نسبت عطا فرما, قوت جذب سے ہم سب کو اپنا بنا لے. اللہم ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصلى اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقه سیدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب. So this is an announcement that inshallah this week